Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mr. President-elect, I am proud to join you on what will be a difficult and exciting adventure in this new century. And may God bless you and all who serve with you and our great country.
In case you missed it, about a half hour ago, New York Senator Hillary Clinton, now the nominee to be President-elect Obama's Secretary of State, accepting that nomination. As part of our live coverage, President-elect Obama introducing his entire foreign policy and national security team. Your reactions at 212-433-WNYC or on our website at WNYC.org. And with us now, Meera Kamdar, Senior Fellow at the World Policy Institute, Associate Fellow of the Asia Society. Her latest book is Planet India, The Turbulent Rise of the Largest Democracy and the Future of Our World. And Robert Lane Green, International Correspondent for The Economist magazine. Welcome both of you to WNYC. Good morning.
Glad to be here.
Meera Kamdar, what do you think of this foreign policy team?
Well, I think it's a strong team. It's interesting that it's kind of almost 50-50 women and men. There's a lot of continuity coming with the, over from the last administration with Gates staying in the Department of Defense. But, in terms of specifically from my point of view, which is South Asia, it's a team that brings a lot of expertise to that region, has a lot of experience with that region.
And can I follow up, before I even bring Robert Lane Green into it, can I follow up and ask your reaction to his answers to the questions on the follow-up to Mumbai, including since he advocated during the campaign the United States having the right to go into Pakistan uninvited by the Pakistani government if there was actionable intelligence on al-Qaeda members, does India have the same right? Was his answer to that question any kind of change from the Bush administration?
Well, he didn't really answer the question. He said sovereign nations have the right to protect themselves, and he kind of left it at that because, this has kind of created a dangerous precedent, I think, this whole notion of the United States sort of going in and preempting anywhere in the world and then saying, well, don't do what we're doing. If India exercises that, that's going to very quickly escalate already a very tense situation there. I don't think the United States wants India to do that, but it's hard to say to India, you can't do what we've said we would do.
Lane Green, international correspondent for The Economist. What do you think of this team?
Well, I think President-elect Obama has clearly made and maybe even just a bit overmade the point that he is not going to be pushed around. He's not a sort of lefty or a peacenik. He's appointed a rival who voted for the Iraq War. He's kept a Republican Secretary of State who's overseen that war, and his national security advisor is a lifelong Marine, Commandant of the Marines, Commander of NATO, and so forth. So he's sending a very clear signal. I am not going to come in and be some kind of democratic, lefty, dovish, naive who can be pushed around by foreign leaders.
So, Lane, let me follow up with the comment from our webpage. We've been collecting answers to the question, what should foreign policy change represent from the Obama administration? And somebody wrote, question, do those of you who voted for Obama as a peace candidate feel disappointed or betrayed? Do you think they should?
No, I don't think so, and here's why. Bringing in tough characters like Hillary Clinton, like James Jones, and so forth, says to the world, I'm not going to be pushed around, but that also gives him cover to do things that he promised in the campaign, like hinting at an opening up to Iran. There isn't so much difference between what he's argued for and what Hillary Clinton is for and what Robert Gates is for in terms of Iraq. They all want a responsible withdrawal from Iraq, and that's been the content of the Status of Forces Agreement that the Iraqi parliament has just okayed. So there's really not so much daylight here between this sort of traditional foreign policy establishment and Obama's evolving views.
Meera Kamdar, any different answer to that question?
No, I think I really agree with that. I have to say that one thing that struck me in his remarks that may mark a shift, an important shift from the outgoing administration, is when he said that we have to bring the full force of the United States to eliminate terrorism, not only military, but diplomatic and economic. And I think that, there is an indication of what may be a real, I hope, a real shift in approach away from, predominantly and primarily military force as a solution to all problems toward, bringing back the soft power dimension of the United States in these issues.
Obama talks about changing the emphasis in foreign policy to more preventive diplomacy rather than military reactiveness. Lane Green, is this really possible, or is it a kind of theoretical change that's hard to implement in a world of fast-paced events, often out of the U.S. control, like the attacks in Mumbai?
Yeah, I think that there's something to your question, your sort of the premise is that, you know, it's okay and well and good to talk to enemies and to have open lines of communication and so forth, like Obama has changed. And I don't think that that is meaningless. I think there is something real to that. It is a change in tone, but things happen, messes happen, and sometimes they need to be responded to with force. So by being an openly diplomatic, sort of peace-loving person, someone who stresses that tone, that doesn't mean that people aren't going to pick fights with you. In fact, his own vice president-elect has said during the transition that, or before the transition, that there could be a crisis that some leader could test him. So as much as he may want to, he's going to have a difficult time. I think the events in Mumbai prove that. The world hasn't gotten safer just because this man who talks so smoothly has been elected.
Does this foreign policy and national security team represent change? Tony in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC. Toby, hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. I think that there has been a shift in the way he answered the question. His initial answer was something to the effect of, this is a tragedy and we mourn the loss, and our prayers go out to the victims and families. This attack represents one of the largest attacks since 9/11, including Madrid and London trains. And unfortunately, you know, the terrorists have become very good at manipulating foreign governments by having attacks before elections, and in our case, by keeping quiet.
But
there's going to be a serious shift in foreign policy.
But tell me again, what was it that he said in response to the Mumbai attacks that you think was
his
so different
response,
from...
His first response was, this is a tragedy, and we our hearts go out to the victims, and we'll pray for them.
As opposed to
what the Indian government said when 9/11 happened. We stand shoulder to shoulder with the American people, with the American government.
So you're saying a change for the worse?
Well, a change in I'm not saying it's good or bad. What I'm saying is there's definitely a shift in the way in which he is going to govern our anti-terror policy.
Toby, thank you very much. And I'm not sure I quite get it, Meera Kamdar, but did you, and do you see some kind of shift in policy or shift in tone, for that matter, in the way he responded to that question?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he also did say that, you know, we stood in solidarity with the Indian government and the victims in Mumbai. You know, in addition to extending his sympathies, I think that this attack is a test, sort of a preemptive strike against, you know, what his administration is facing coming into, especially Afghanistan. I mean, I think this is actually links back to Afghanistan, what has happened here. This was something that was planned for a long time. I think it was planned to heighten tensions, perhaps to the ultimate degree, between India and Pakistan to preemptively make the resolution of the situation in Kashmir extremely difficult, something that Obama has specifically referred to as one thing that he wants to focus on in his new administration. And, to the extent that India might take any action against Pakistan, Pakistan would immediately focus all of its attention on India and away from the Western Front, away from Afghanistan, away from the isolation of al-Qaeda, which is, you know, something that the Obama administration has said that they want to do. So I think this, you know, represents a major challenge to what the incoming administration has articulated as its goals in South Asia.
Again, some reactions from our website to the question of what would change mean in foreign policy to you. Somebody wrote, end corruption in Afghanistan, get out of Iraq, transform American anti-terror tactics from militarism to pro-infrastructure anti-poverty initiatives. Do you think he can change anti-terror to infrastructure and anti-poverty initiatives? Or again, is that, Lane Green, too sort of peacenik for the real world for Barack Obama?
I don't think it is. In this case, I think it's not either or. You have to use the elements of hard power, and he used words like relentless and steady in protecting America's security. But he also has made a point, as all the Democratic contenders did in the primaries, that all those tools are going to need to be used, and that if young men are building houses and schools in Afghanistan, they're going to have less time for getting into trouble while joining the Taliban. So I think that there's a very strong belief, and a lot of the people on this team that he introduced share that belief, that the hard power, the military hammer, is not the only tool. And that includes Robert Gates, who said earlier this year, if I could give part of my budget to the Secretary of State and I knew that Secretary of State would put it in the right place and do the right thing with it, that he would happily do it. So everybody he introduced, including a Secretary of Defense, a Republican, agrees with this notion that every tool has got to be brought to bear and not just the military.
Yeah, which answers what for me is an important question, which is on Gates. Everybody's asking, why is he being kept on by Obama if he's a pro-Iraq war, Bush military guy, a Reagan-era Iran-Contra official? But the opposite question is, why is Gates signing on with Obama? So, Lane, is there some kind of change he wants to bring that is consistent with the Obama vision?
Well, one thing I would remind, it's not all Iraq. And Bob Gates was associated with the Iraq Study Group report before he came on as Secretary of Defense, which advocated talking to Iran. So he is associated with a slightly more negotiating position with Iran, in contrast to his boss, the President Bush. So there are reasons to believe that he may see some similarities between his own view and Obama's, as much as he sees them between himself and President Bush.
Now, here's one answer, or one statement, really, from one of the nominees today, Susan Rice, who's nominated as UN ambassador, that I think kind of blatantly represents change.
The United Nations was, in major part, America's creation. Mr. President-elect, I share your commitment to rededicate ourselves to the organization and its mission. If confirmed as UN ambassador, I will work constructively within the organization to help strengthen its capacities and achieve needed reforms. I can think of no more important time to represent the United States at the United Nations.
Mira Kadmar, did you hear in that a kind of repudiation of the Bush administration's skepticism about the United Nations?
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with you. That is really the one point in this whole news conference where there is a statement of a very stark change with the outgoing administration. You know, it's sort of a commitment to have the United States rejoin the comity of world nations and work with them. And I think that's very positive.
And I thought I heard one more that was similar, if not quite as overt. It was Eric Holder, the Attorney General nominee, referring to, and I don't have the exact quote here, but it was something like revitalizing the Justice Department for some of the things that it's good for, which, you know, I thought, again, was a slap at maybe the Bush Justice Department, which may have taken things like civil rights enforcement or whatever off the table.
Sure. I think one thing in particular is that he said the Attorney General works for the American people, not for the president, and that was not even so subtle. He was saying, I will not be the president's lawyer in this job. I will be America's lawyer.
And that is where we will leave this coverage for today. It is the beginning of the Obama era unfolding day by day, as he seems to hold almost daily news conferences now. He did Monday through Wednesday before Thanksgiving weekend. He did it again today, unveiling his foreign policy team just now. And I want to thank Mira Kadmar from the World Policy Institute and Asia Society, author of Planet India, The Turbulent Rise of the Largest Democracy and the Future of Our World, and Lane Green, international correspondent for The Economist. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll talk in just a minute about Obama as a dad and the new Obama fatherhood that he may inspire. Stay with us.